Which stories got me into writing and made me want to start storyline sessions? Hi, my name is Marco and welcome to another episode of Storyline Sessions podcast. I recently turned 30. For some, it may sound like a lot. To others, it may be just the beginning. But either way, I think it's a milestone worth noting. And that's why I decided to give you a broad overview of the things that inspire me and a list of stories that got me into storytelling and creative writing. They won't be reviews exactly, they'll be more of an overview and a broad look at the things that came to me at certain points in my life and how I got to them. And I also won't get into too many details because on Instagram I'm doing Alphabet Superset, the project where I list out things that inspire me from A to Z, and there I will be more specific, but here I'm taking a different perspective. These are loosely split into three phases of my life so far. They'll give you a brief overview of what I'm about and help you know me a little bit better. Since I was little, my parents shared their interest in different types of media, well, basically everything except gaming with me, and we've always had books and comics lying around. It didn't take me long to pick some of them up and start reading. Some of them weren't exactly for my age at the time, but I think that also made them better and helped me broaden my interests and learn more. Probably the first book that comes to mind when I think about that time is The Sword of Shannara. This is the first book in the trilogy of the same name by Terry Brooks, and I loved this one. There was this series of monumental books from around the world published in the former Yugoslavia under the name of Bluebird. It was named after a play by Maurice Maeterlinck. He was a Belgian Nobel Prize winner. It consisted of well over 100 books that spanned various genres and notable authors such as Jack London, Leo Tolstoy, over Jack Steinbeck and Henryk Sienkiewicz, all the way to the likes of Terry Brooks and Michael Moorcock. I got The Weird of the White Wolf by Michael Moorcock here. Unfortunately, I lost the dust jacket a while back, but it still looks great. These illustrations inside I'll try to show you, but it's difficult under the light. I think they are amazing, and I think that's what really stood out for me as a kid. They were awesome. Each book had these, and they were so inspiring. You could basically tell a whole story by just looking at some of them, and it's a shame that you can't see it good because of the light, but I think that is one of the reasons that I love them so much. There are still some stories from that time that I hold dear and I love them to this day. For example, In Desert and Wilderness by Henryk Sienkiewicz. And yeah, that's how it started, but as I say, The Sword of Shannara was the focus. From this perspective, it's kind of a derivative of Lord of the Rings, and Terry Brooks took a lot from Tolkien's work directly, but at that point I haven't read a lot of fantasy, and especially Lord of the Rings, which was too much. I haven't got past the Bilbo's party in the first book at that time, and I read it many years later. And soon came the Harry Potter series. I think that thing for me was the most important because how the story continued and tied in over so many books. I devoured the series, but I'm not sure if I should read them again because I'm afraid they won't hold up. Let me know if you reread Harry Potter recently and if I should do it. And another interesting chapter for a young me was R.L. Stine. I mentioned this in the conversation with Boris Bacic on this channel, but that was my gateway to horror. And I read everything that was translated to Serbian by R.L. Stine. And the one that stuck with me until this day was Don't Forget Me. It made me feel different than everything I've ever read. I still remember being glued to the book in the kitchen, and I think I read it in one sitting. Alongside reading books, I found stories in other types of media that provided even more fuel for my imagination. And two games that I found, actually I picked them up based on the cover art, are Chrono Trigger and Vandal Hearts. These awesome RPGs were one of the key things that helped me learn English and get into role-playing games and also think about fantasy in another way. After Stein, I got even more into spooky stuff and horror started appealing more and more to me. And Silent Hill was one of the games that showed me the storytelling side of horror. But there were also, even though it sounds funny, Courage the Cowardly Dog and Scooby-Doo. These two animated dogs cemented my interest in scares and made me the horror lover I am today. Comics were there to help me progress to more mature topics, so to say, and starting from Asterix and Obelix and things such as Lucky Luke, I moved on to Conan the Barbarian, and I still stick with that one. You can often see it in the videos behind me, and here is one of the books. This is the King Conan series, and it's basically about when he was already crowned, and after a lot of stories I read in the earlier comics, now I went into this, and I think that whenever I read it, it gets kind of nostalgic to me, but there's still quality. All of the ones that I show will be in Serbian, as most of the books that I own in English are in digital form because of the shipping stuff, and you know how that stuff gets. But I think the cover art in Serbian editions is really great too, so I think that won't be a great loss. And as I got older, the combination of getting easier access to the internet, meeting more people, and getting into high school, there are some things that came naturally to me and a continuation of things that I've mentioned. Even though I've kind of been writing from early days, since I was a kid, discovering Kafka with the trial was one of the turning points and thing that made me want to go into writing more seriously. And the themes that he tackled and the concepts, and especially the form, was unlike anything I ever seen up until that point, and it makes it still one of my favorite works ever. Around that time, I also got into some heavyweights of the genre. I discovered H.P. Lovecraft and Edgar Allan Poe. I think the first one for Lovecraft was the audio version of Shadow Over Innsmouth that blew me away. The prose and the atmosphere was timeless and still is, and as for Poe, I actually first got into his poetry. I'm not that big into poetry, but Annabel Lee and few more, that they made me want to memorize them and know them by heart, even though that wasn't an assignment for school. And that's when I continued my exploration of the literary classics, and reading Frankenstein made me have even more love for the foundations of the genre and fiction overall. I wasn't only into fantasy and horror. For example, Moby Dick was one of my top reads, and I still love to reread it from time to time. I know the Western influences are noticeable, but things such as The Gambler by Dostoevsky helped me broaden my horizons and actually understand different styles. There's also the rich tradition of my country's writing, but I'll leave that for another video, because there's a lot of material to cover. Of course, I got more into modern writing. Stephen King was around in many shapes and forms for a while, but what cemented him as one of my favorite authors is The Stand. If you haven't read it, The Stand is kind of a post-apocalyptic take on Lord of the Rings, but with far less fantasy elements. And there was just something about the scale of it and the way that characters interacted with the surroundings that made me fall in love. And I also used the name of one of the characters as my Twitter name for many, many years. Maybe a bit earlier came Terry Pratchett, but I only started grasping the true brilliance of his writing and the setting Discworld he created later on. I never was too big on satire, but the way it's tied into his fantasy and the setting he created is top-notch still. And not to mention the cover art that I find more inspiring than some full-length comics and graphic novels. I'm not sure which was the first that I picked up, was it The Color of Magic or some of the later ones, but when I looked at those covers, I was just hooked, and when I started reading them, and even later on, and as I amassed a collection of Terry Pratchett's work, he still is one of my favorite authors. I'm not sure about the exact timeline, but that's about when I also read Gaiman's Sandman. It was important to me for two reasons. First one is that I learned that comics or graphic novels can win awards usually reserved for books, and that they can be considered worthy of the recognition by the public. And the second one is that most of the comics that I read up to that point were kind of a linear frame-by-frame setup, and Sandman showed me that the visual storytelling can do so many different things. I also have a drawing of the cover artist and his signature on one of my books for Sandman. It's really great. I unfortunately can't show it. I think I'll put it up on the screen because the light is messing with it. While I'm on the topic of comics, I want to talk about Dylan Dog. It's an Italian comic created by Tiziano Sclavi, and that is one of my favorite things ever created, in general. I'll definitely talk more about it at some point, but its serialized form worked great in combining horror and mystery with deeper themes, and it tends to explore a lot of deep stuff. And what makes it impactful for me is the way it pulls from many different influences and gives homages, but it still manages to stay its own thing, is different, and provides memorable stories in less than 100 pages at a time. And one of my favorite episodes is Necropolis, and I got that signed too. The cover artist of the episode was in Belgrade, so I got his signature. That's probably a thing that I'll have to put up on the screen later on, but you can maybe see it here. So that's awesome. And the tone of Dylan Dog often reminds me of Donnie Darko. It's a film that at the time was my favorite film ever. The atmosphere, the music, and the way they extended the world beyond the screen with their immersive website, if some of you remember, that was crazy at the time and it still brings a smile to my face. And another one with similar impact was Waking Life. It's a weird animated one with a series of conversations in dreams that were about contemplating the meaning of the universe. It was a bit pretentious at times, but it's one of the things that I really like and I can still go back to despite some things being kind of cheesy now. And the gaming thing also never went away. Aside from obligatory multiplayer games with friends and Football Manager I'm still addicted to, I was starting to get into more adventure games and story-driven games. I was too young for the original Monkey Island games, but I played them later on, and the remake for The Secret of the Monkey Island came at the right point for me. The playing with tropes, jokes, everything that came together perfectly. It also made me want to explore the classics and the earlier games from studios similar to that one, such as Grim Fandango. And as a more modern take on adventure games, there was Telltale's The Walking Dead, namely Season 1. It crushed me. I think it's one of the first times that a video game made me want to cry, and I also think it's one of the best adaptations in games, period. Maybe even better than all of the source material. Around the same time, I've discovered Black Mirror, and the sharp writing in the first couple of seasons, and especially Season 1, and the near-future tech that they've explored made me want to plan out a short story collection that I've yet to write, but it's happening. And maybe I'm messing up the timeline, but while I'm on the topic of TV or streaming, at the same time came the near-perfect first season of True Detective. It's still some of the best TV I've ever seen, but it's also important because it turned me to an author named Thomas Ligotti. He's a unique writer of horror and weird, and he quickly became one of my favorites. This is one of the books by him, I own a couple, and this is a great edition of horror classics and modern classics that we have here in Serbia, and if you haven't heard of Thomas Ligotti, I highly recommend him. The series True Detective also helped me further explore the bending of genres and colliding of things that I wouldn't normally put together and seeing how they can work perfectly. Out of all things that I saw ever, Legion is the closest thing to something I would love to make if I had the skills and the resources necessary. Its intricate ways of foreshadowing, the playing with sound, aspect ratios, animation, and even narration, the meta way it handled the narration in the beginning, is nothing short of brilliant to me, and it's also basically an X-Men story, it's pulled from their universe, but that's the worst marketing for it, trust me. And one of the movies I wanted to shout out is, I recently mentioned it in my conversation with Boris Bacic, that's Hereditary. One of my favorite horror films of all time, and it's one of the few things that made me pause in shock in the middle of the movie without even getting to some twists. And it's an amazing blend of drama and horror, and it was also another confirmation that the Oscars and the awards in general just don't get the horror genre. Before I go, there are some more books that I want to shout out. The name that already come up in a few of my discussions so far, and someone that's one of the most important people who talk about the craft, is Steven Pressfield, of course. I first read his historical fiction about ancient Greece and stuff like that, but I liked it, but his non-fiction book, The War of Art, helped me cope with my own resistance and it still helped me with I get off track. This is also a period when, for me, the Storyline Sessions idea kinda started brewing and when I started thinking about the project. I got into Cormac McCarthy a bit late, having only watched the movie adaptations of his work, but when I read No Country for Old Men, it all clicked and I understood all of the hype. His unique style and pace and everything is truly masterful, it's a masterclass, and as I read more of his work, I realize how versatile of a storyteller he was. And I got two more for now. China Mieville's City and the City is a title I've written about in more detail on my Instagram, you can read about it there, but in short, his unique approach to writing what my friend cleverly put is weird postmodern police procedural is something you have to experience for yourself if you're into sociology, politics, but also noir, fantasy, separately or all of them. This is the book that I highly recommend, and I think his writing is really awesome. I've read some more of him, and I'll talk about it in more length in future videos, but China Mieville, City and the City, don't miss it. And the last one is Ted Chiang. You may know him best by the short story that was adapted to the movie Arrival, but even though it's awesome, the short story, it's not even the best short story in that collection. And his way of writing sci-fi, to limit him to that because he writes other stuff as well, is one of the most interesting and layered ones I found in modern sci-fi and in modern writing generally. So that's pretty much it. I didn't try to go for some hidden gems, but rather just focus on things that I find truly important for my growth and things that probably you've already seen, but they are certainly worth mentioning. There's of course a bunch of stuff that I left out, and especially things that are just plain awesome, but didn't impact me in the ways these ones did. You can follow me on Instagram at Storyline Sessions and read more about those in detail, and also stick around on this channel because there's a great conversation with a fantasy author I enjoy coming your way next week. My name is Marko Bogdanović, and I'll see you next week. Keep creating stories.